Weekend Breakfast
with Alison Curtis.
Playing the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today.
Alison Curtis with you, Weekend Breakfast. As promised, we have Mairead Ronan in studio.
Hello!
And Jenny Kelly.
Hi, Alison.
Jenny, I think the last time we ran into each other was a petrol station.
Oh, the glamour. We have the glamorous life.
And I wasn't wearing my glasses and I was like, that looks like Jenny. I think it's Jenny.
Was I wearing a black polo neck?
Yes.
That's a giveaway.
So I think I was leaving Waterford and you were heading to, yes, because it was after my Dunmore East, I think, show.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That was such a gorgeous show.
Yeah, well, you guys helped me produce that, basically.
Where will I go? We were like a list.
Of here, talk to this person, that person.
You did. Like, Mairead honestly gave me all the guest lists. Yeah. It was amazing. So what we know now, so the podcast is amazing. I find it very, very comforting. Oh, and certainly there's a lot of hours with walking this dog now. So thank you guys. It's coming handy. But you've turned it into a book, Mairead.
We have, yeah. So I suppose if it wasn't for the podcast, we wouldn't have the book.
Yeah.
And both have really come from Today FM, because most people know myself and Jenny were on Today FM a million years ago. This is where we started. We were on the Ray Darcy show. That's where our friendship formed. Mm-hmm. And then, not that that ended, but when the Ray Darcy show ended, so did our friendship and stuff like that. But we, for us to get back on mic together, that's where the podcast came in. And that's two years ago now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know, we can't believe it.
It's 2 years.
I think what we were kind of saying, even when we were talking about doing the book, we were like, well, what is it going to be about? And the whole point of it was we wanted it like to spark conversation. Mm-hmm. So we weren't going, look at us, we know it all.
We know everything.
We were like, no, we don't. Yeah. We actually don't know lots. But these are the things that we were talking to each other about, the things that we talked to our friends about. And since then, since the book has come out, then what's happened is we've had so many emails in from listeners then talking about things from like aging, motherhood, grief, you know, cleaning, just like all the stuff that we all do talk about.
I know.
So that's really important.
But that's why I find it comforting, is that, I mean, there's like so many things online and there's so many things to listen to, but they're very much tailored to an age group that I'm not part of anymore. So it's nice to, you know, see things, your own life and your own thoughts reflected in not only a podcast, but now in this amazing book.
Our pink, pretty pink book.
Our pink baby.
It is. It's very pretty. So, Jenny, you guys start very honest with this book about friendships.
Yes. Yeah, I think we had discussions about it. And then I think one day I got in touch with Mairead and I said, I know how we have to start this book. And we felt it had to be as honest as possible. And there was no way, again, that we were going to hold ourselves up as these perfect friends where there's never been any issue. Mm. And like in a lot of friendships,
there was
an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a pretty big dip with us. Mm. And again, it wasn't like we had this big falling out, a big fight. It was this.
I think it would have been easier if that had happened.
Yes.
But it wasn't. It's like you.
It was this quietness.
Yeah. It was just a quietness and a kind of pulling away.
A drift.
Yeah. A quietness and a drift, but no big
falling out.
And we never actually fell out. So we were still in touch with each other.
Just distant.
It was quite cool.
Yeah.
It was quite cool. It was quite distant. We were both going through very difficult times. Mm-hmm. My dad had died suddenly and I was in the midst of this like awful shock and grief. And back then, I definitely couldn't express myself or my vulnerability or what I needed. And I did a classic thing, which I always used to do. I hope I'm a little bit better, which was just close off completely.
Yes.
Shut down, close off. I don't need anybody.
I think I can identify with that.
Can you?
Yes.
Yeah, I think a lot of us can. So I had this like ridiculous idea that Mairead should be able to mind read.
Yeah.
You know, that she should be able just to read my mind and just call over.
Know what
and
I
just
need.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And of course, she's not a mind reader. So
I know,
how
but I can also understand we were so incredibly close that I can understand how Jenny did think that I was able to read her mind, because, you know, when it came to jokes and a laugh and conversations without speaking, we were able to kind of read each other's mind before Jenny's dad died.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I could look across her and go, and we'd both know exactly what we were thinking.
But it's a different level.
But it's completely different level. And I suppose my mind was in a different place as well.
Yeah.
And was going through a marriage breakup, which is a weird grief as well.
And when you're that young as well.
And very young and kind of public as well. So we were both, we were both there for each other, but not there for each other. And it just, the distance just grew.
It can happen. My closest friend from university is Jenny as well. Mm-hmm. And we did the same after my wedding. And there was a couple of years there. And then when I went back to Canada, she announced she was pregnant. And I was like, oh, that's wonderful news. And then I got back and found out I was as well. And they were due 3 days apart and just started all over again. And yeah, that's how it...
Brilliant.
So it was just, and it wasn't like a falling out.
Yeah.
It was just a drifting.
Well, you know what's really interesting as well? Again, to kind of go back to what I was saying there at the beginning, is since we have kind of opened up about that,
yeah,
the conversations though, oh, it's just unreal.
Because
the amount of women,
so important.
Yeah, but the amount of women who've got in touch with us saying the same thing has happened.
Yeah.
And for a lot of them, they haven't got back.
Okay.
That they unfortunately have never got that friendship back, and they have to go through their own grief for that. And then a lot of women again have said that about this distance over a few years.
Yeah.
And then they manage because they understand as you get older that like shit happens.
And you have to be more forgiving.
You have to be more
definitely.
Forgiving.
Yeah. Oh no, 100%. But friends are so important. And I think maybe through, we'll just touch on it really briefly. We've all lost parents. And I think through that, I become like a barnacle on a ship then. Whoever enters into my life, I'm like, I'm not losing you.
Well, that's and what we should call each other barnacles now, because we have made a pact that nothing
barnacles,
nothing. When nothing can ever kind of come between us ever
but
again.
You value people so deeply, I think, when you suffer from a loss yourself.
I know, and I think like you recognize that, and we talk about that in the book as well, that you kind of enter this new world that if, when somebody, you know, when somebody loses somebody close to them, it's like almost like, okay, you recognize that, you know, that grief in them and you want to pull them close. But at the same time, you understand, you can recognize if they want to pull away and they need their own space as well.
A lot of that comes with maturity and awareness.
Definitely.
And we're not all blessed with that immediately.
No, we're not.
I know, some of us are still learning.
Yeah. Imagine there's a lot of people listening who this will be their first Christmas without
somebody,
mum or dad.
It's so hard.
It's really, really difficult.
No, it really is, definitely. And you deal with it very well in the book. Motherhood. All right, Jenny, you, who became a mother first?
Jenny, by five months ahead of me.
And you're both well ahead of me, actually. So, like, it's a completely transformative experience, to say the least.
Well,
so,
like, the biggest learning curve I think anybody will ever go through. And I don't know about you, but when I was pregnant, I knew obviously I was going to have a baby at the end of it.
I know.
But I hadn't kind of got my head around the fact that...
What does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. What does this mean? And the way it's kind of portrayed in, you know, in the media, in movies, and it's all so cuddly and cozy, and there's a newborn, and we're all getting to know each other, and it's a beautiful time, which it is, and it can be. But it also can be completely terrifying and anxiety-inducing. And for me, that's kind of what I was like for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
I just felt this overwhelming anxiety. Like, I cried more in the 3 weeks, I think, than I've ever cried in my life. Now, I know that, like I was lucky insofar as that was kind of that baby blues thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't continue. But it did take a couple of months for me to trust myself and to kind of feel that I was like, what if I drop her? Well, all those things that you're like, oh my, I remember like Ray would go out to work, you know, and I'd suddenly be like, oh my God, I'm left in charge of this. And this little beautiful little newborn baby with their big eyes, and they're looking up to you, and you're thinking, I don't know anything. You know, and I remember saying to my mum, I was like, nobody will tell me what to do. And she was like, you'll just figure it out.
Yeah.
Which I found quite frustrating. So I did what I always did, and I went to books. So I went to the hardest book that I could find out there. And I was like this rigid, get up at 6 a.m.
You know, I was completely the opposite.
Oh,
I was like, what is a routine? Who cares?
Oh, God,
no, that's the way to go about it.
Yeah. Well, just because I'm not disciplined myself.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think that is the way. And I was definitely like that on my second.
Yeah.
But I needed that routine until I got to a point where I went, what the hell am I doing?
But like, it just brings a comfort for some people.
Yeah,
that's
it did. I needed it. Yeah. So.
And so you were saying, Jenny, about, you know, having your mom. We didn't have our mothers having our children raid. And so I found my friend group was so significant during that period of time. Like, I'm like, is this rash something to be concerned about? Photo into WhatsApp. Like, it's, again, going back to the friends, but it helps you with that so much.
Yeah, it totally did. I didn't have my mum, but that's actually when I started to grieve my mum, was when I had Dara. Because I realised then, and it's kind of quite sad that I only realised how much my mother actually loved me.
Yeah.
I knew I was always loved, but really how she felt about me when I became a mother to Dara.
Yeah.
But I have two much older sisters who helped me.
And, I love her when she says
and, and I had friends, but actually I didn't have many friends who had children apart from Jenny.
Because you were so young.
I was so young. So and Jenny was just fresh in it as well. So it was brilliant just having Jenny on speed dial. And we had a lovely maternity leave together, didn't we?
Actually,
we used to meet for coffee and cakes all the time.
But my maternity leave was with you two on air. So that's how I spent Henry. But do you ever, I have this moment, and we'll play a song and we'll come back, but I have this moment with Joan where I was like, you don't understand how much I love you. Like in a threatening way going, you'll never understand
until you understand.
It's like, ah, bite her still.
I want to eat your face.
It sounds so violent.
And this is normal.
Squeeze our
cheeks. Well, I do have cute aggression. Okay, so Dua Lipa, and then we're going to come back with Jenny and Marie.
Weekend Breakfast
with Alison Curtis.
Playing the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
I'm Alison Curtis with you, Weekend Breakfast. Anne-Marie Ronan and Jenny Killier with me still. Thank you, guys. We could beat the record.
Here.
Yeah. We could beat the record from last year.
Oh, yeah. Last year was a long interview.
It was the longest of a year of the whole show.
Is that bad or good?
Good. Okay, so we did this quote earlier, and I was like, who said this? I was born to be middle-aged with Jenny or Marie. Well, I suppose we are. You really aren't yet, are you considered?
I'm 44.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if that's considered middle-aged.
No, I think not. When do you, that's like 50 is
like, we're going to live to be 100, obviously.
Obviously. Come on.
Like. So Jenny, I identify with that as well, that quote. Like, I'm delighted now that all the things I loved when I was younger are now acceptable.
I know, I love it.
Yeah.
Like, what is not to like about it? And even this kind of probably could possibly sound stereotypical because I'm sure there's some people out there who are my age, 52, and they're like, no, I still like
you don't hide yours. You're amazing.
I sure I am 52. I'm delighted to be 52. Hooray. Hooray for 52. But like all the stuff now, I don't have to apologise, you know, that I can go, no, I don't want to go out. I would much rather sit on the couch watching Netflix with my cup of tea.
And Birkenstocks.
And Birkenstocks. Yeah.
And two pairs. Love them.
I know. Yeah. Look, what's not to love about them?
Open-toed, closed, perfect.
Have you got the fur-lined ones?
Furry ones.
No.
You need to get furry ones.
That could be next.
Okay.
Although we're trying not to buy anything anymore.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's another, discussion. But yeah, so like everything about this age, I think I love. Mm. So there's all that stuff, as in kind of knowing what you like to do, but also the kind of people that you like to hang out with and spend time with.
And what your limitations are and your boundaries.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. I can't go to that thing. Whereas before you would tie yourself up in knots.
I know.
But like, I don't making up excuses. And then eventually just going to it anyway.
And being miserable.
And being miserable.
It was kind of one of those things, I think we were writing about that. We were like, it's okay to disappoint people. You know, people are adults.
It's okay to disappoint adults for sure.
Yeah.
Don't disappoint
kids.
Children.
Okay. Yeah, that's different. You've got a nice checklist on page 137.
Oh, yeah.
Some things to love about getting older. And you do worry a lot less about people's opinions, I think, don't you? Because you realise how draining that is.
Yes.
It is. It's exhausting. It is exhausting.
You just have to give up on that because it's kind of none of your business. What anybody thinks about you. But you have no control over that, so who cares?
And the biggest lesson is that people aren't actually thinking about you. Only you are thinking about you.
Yeah,
I know. Everyone's thinking about you.
You don't have to, you mentioned this, to waste time on things that you don't like to do anymore. And you care more about, I like this one, your internal health than you do about appearance.
Yeah, well, that's a big one.
I never particularly cared about my appearance. I think that's obvious. But like,
no, that is not obvious.
Internal health. Yeah, you get a little twinge somewhere and you're like, ooh.
Yes.
What is that? Yeah, or the foods I eat, I'm more careful about that now as well, you know. So.
But we do talk about that in the book, though, because we, like, it's a huge curve, particularly for women. Like, it's so complicated how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about our bodies, you know, how people see us. And, like, I write about the fact that when, you know, from my kind of younger years, when I was about, like, 9 or 10, I started putting on weight. And then it became, like, a preoccupation of my life.
Okay.
The weight was a preoccupation, the up and the down of it. And when I was feeling down, you know, when I was down with weight, you know, I was feeling really good about myself.
Yeah.
If it went up, then I was feeling really bad about myself and, you know, constantly criticizing myself, you know, that I didn't look the right way, whatever that means. And again, that's another beautiful thing about kind of getting older. It's not that you're giving up.
No.
That is absolutely not it.
No.
But you are comfortable with where you are at every stage. So you understand, you go, okay, I mightn't fit into those jeans at the moment, but I'm just going to go and do a couple more walks.
Yeah.
And I'm going to mind myself as opposed to criticize myself.
Yeah. I think it is a hard transition to make.
So hard.
Yeah. I think I'm more critical now than when I was younger.
Are you?
Which is weird. I'm like, I was like, oh, that's what I look like now. Whereas before I was like, yeah, it's great, it's grand, it's fine. So you do have to come to terms with it, definitely. You
I don't think it's your fault though, because when you think of it, we're being bombarded continuously with how we should look.
Exactly.
And there's this idea that like it's a choice, you know, you choose what you do to yourself. Well, no, not really, because if you're constantly being told that aging and how you look is the most important thing about you.
But do you think it's getting more positive generally? And this is to tie in with you guys. No, you don't think so?
No,
I feel like voices like you and your podcast and even us talking about it now, I'm hoping drives it forward a bit.
I think there's a message out there that things are getting better around body positivity and all that.
Yeah, it's still a lot of pressure.
That's just kind of a marketing line, I think.
Yeah.
I think things are as bad and possibly worse than they ever were.
Well, I think what's probably worse is that for younger people, the pressure is even.
Oh, Joan thinks about her appearance way more than I ever did.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't have a mirror, you'd be like, oh my God, I have brown hair.
You would never see yourself. So you'd be like, oh, my hair's brown now.
That sounds like such an old thing to say, but I say that the whole time. I'm like, stop looking at yourself. Okay, all right. The second last chapter is what matters, like what really matters.
Oh gosh,
What would you say? You don't have to say exactly what's in the book, but what would you feel now?
What matters really is, and it's going to sound a bit like naff, but it's my family and my health. That's all that matters. That's all I need this season, this Christmas. That's
your
really
gorgeous
it.
Family. Yeah, exactly.
My gorgeous family, my home.
Yeah.
And my health.
Yeah.
And I think if you've got all of those, you are winning.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We kind of do, at the end of the book, we do like our manifesto.
Okay.
You know, and one of our favorite quotes, which we repeat, well, I definitely repeat it to myself at least 5 times a day.
Okay.
And it's in my downstairs bathroom. There's a big poster on the wall and it's, you'll be dead forever.
Right.
And that sounds
cheery.
That's cheery.
That's cheery.
Yeah. Happy Christmas.
Here comes Kelly Clarkson underneath the Christmas tree. Oh my God, I could talk to you both forever and ever and ever. We're going to get back to the fact that we're asking people to send in voice notes on 0874-100-102 with advice to younger self to win a copy of the book. And guys, thank you so much for being here, Mairead and
Thanks
Jenny.
Thanks, Alison.
Let's just wait for you guys to publish a book. Just come back.
Okay.
Anytime.
Exactly. Thank you.
Weekend Breakfast
with Alison Curtis.
Playing the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.